Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 13th, 2011, episode 161, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's a Monday.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday.
All right, it was that weekend. Yes, the weekend we've all been waiting for. The one that Glenn could not stop talking about. He was so excited about. Belmont Stakes weekend, people. The Belmont happened over the weekend. And, you know, unfortunately, Glenn and his lovely wife, Jennifer, were stuck in their car driving back from Memphis. For some reason, I have no idea why. They were driving back from Memphis. And somebody kept texting me going, what happened? Who won? Where was Mucho Macho Man? What happened with Shackleford? Blah, blah, blah. So I think closetly you were interested in the Belmont Stakes, Glenn, because of the copious amount of text messages that I did get from you, which I will read on the air if I have to.
Well, you know, we were slightly interested to see how Mucho Macho Man did, of course.
Slightly interested?
Slightly, yeah. Yeah, well, and you know, we couldn't find it, actually. We were like in the middle of nowhere in western Kentucky, and we thought actually about getting off an exit and going find a place to watch it, but there was no exit. So that didn't work at all.
And then, nowhere to stop. We just stop at a biker bar.
Yeah, we could have joined Alex at a biker bar. But, you know, we had you. We didn't need to stop and watch TV because we had you.
Yes, and it was a really interesting, exciting race. Of course, you know, the pre-race coverage leading up to it is always fun because you get, not only do you get the backstories of the horses and the owners and the jockeys, you also get horsey commercials. So it's not even worth fast-forwarding through commercials because they're always horsey commercials, which is way fun. But, of course, Ruler on Ice was the shocker was the victory by Ruler on Ice, who, if you placed a $2 bet, Glenn, a $2 bet, like say you're Ruler on Ice's owner, and you're like, I'm going to bet $1,000 on my horse. Well, $2 paid $51.50 on a $2 bet. So some people might have made some cash on him. Not many, but some people did. Mike Rapoli's Stay Thirsty, of course, Uncle Mo's stablemate, finished second. And Brilliant Speed had almost enough Brilliant Speed to come in, but came in third place. Now, the interesting thing is Shackleford led the entire race. His trainer said, I told him just to get out to, this is before the race. He goes, get out to the front and just go, which is kind of the way they won the Preakness. And if this race was the length of the Preakness, Glenn, Shackleford would have won. At about a mile and a 16th, mile and an eighth, he was actually still in the front. He only lost in that final drive, and that's what gets most horses in the Belmont Stakes is that final home stretch. Animal Kingdom, start of the race, clipped heels with, I believe it was Mucho Macho Man, because Mucho Macho Man was pushed into him by the horse to his outside, and so they collided. Animal Kingdom almost went down. The jockey lost a stirrup. It was this amazing balancing act to get back up, and he ended up finishing sixth place.
Yeah, he made up a lot of ground because he was in last place when he came out. Boy, he made up a lot of ground after his stumble there.
He sure did. It was impressive. And, you know, it just goes to show you, I wonder what would have happened. But that's racing. That's what happens, that kind of stuff. So, interesting is Ruler on Ice didn't even qualify for the Kentucky Derby. So that's why you didn't see that one there. He didn't make enough money to be in the Derby. And, you know, Mucho Macho Man, sadly, wasn't even there in the race the entire time. I think Animal Kingdom came in sixth place. So it was 9 lengths off the lead. Mucho Macho Man, it's like they just gave up. And he came in seventh, and they just kind of quit running, and he ended up 24 lengths off the lead. That's way
wow.
far back. And then there were still a bunch of horses behind him, so I think they just quit pushing him and let him pull up. That's a really long race for a horse that isn't even 3 years old yet.
Yeah, it's a really long race. I almost got bored in the middle watching it.
You weren't watching
I watched it on video this morning because I knew you would talk about it, and then I knew I had to watch it so that I could intelligently make my snarky comments.
Well, did you read about the people that watched it? They got an 11 share. That's really big. It was a very popular race for TV. The NBC Sports reported that the upset victory by Ruler on Ice produced a 4.8 overnight rating and an 11 share for the race portion of the entire two-hour broadcast. So in Nielsen rating talk, that's really, really, really good, especially for a Saturday afternoon / evening. So the only it was down from, obviously, when Calvin Burrell was going for the Triple Crown of jockeys. But, it was a very popular race. I was not the only one who watched it. Thank you very much.
Apparently not. And it was a very sloppy track. Very sloppy track.
Oh, yeah. It was exciting.
Did his shoes stay on? Do we have any word whether Mucho Macho Man actually kept his shoes on this time?
I don't know, but Donna Brothers did the funniest thing in the pre-race to show you what it's like to be pelted with dirt as a racehorse. She hops on one of Frankie Lovato's equisizers, right? So there's Donna Brothers. She's got, you know, 8 sets of goggles on. She's on an equisizer on the track, and she has, like, 10 track people that work there, on the ground in front of her. And she's like, okay, this is what it's like to be a racehorse and a jockey and get pelted with the sand, and this is how they move their goggles. All the people in front of her on the ground start pelting her with dirt.
That would have been better than the race.
It was awesome. And she had a helmet cam on, you know. So she's just there just picking up and throwing and pelting and pelting and pelting her with dirt. And she's pulling off the goggles. She's pulling off the goggles. And she's on the equisizer. And she's going, going, going. And by the end of it, she's like, and that's what it's like as a jockey. She's got, like, mud in her teeth.
That'd be better than the race. I want to see that.
Oh, it was so funny. I taped it. I don't know how to get it out, but it was really, really funny. We got to talk to Donna about that because we'll have to get her on the show. She was definitely comic relief for the Belmont.
I'm looking it up to see if it's on YouTube yet. I don't see it. And Frankie gets another plug, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was Frankie, it was Donna. They were all at their best for sure.
No, I don't see it yet. It's not on YouTube yet. Nobody's put it up yet.
Well, maybe it's on Donna's website. We'll have to look later. But before we get to our daily winnies, I want to know, Jennifer, are you around? Can you tell us what's coming up on today's show?
I'm here. And on today's edition of the Omega Alpha Monday, we open
Omega Alpha Monday.
We open with a brand new sport highlight. This time up, we have the Hunter Pace, the most fun horse sport without a rule book or governing body. So if you're an independent spirit, this might just be the sport for you. Listen into that one. And being Monday and all, we have the weekend news roundup with the headlines and hearsay from all of it fit for morning conversation. And don't forget, it's Black Beauty, Chapter 8. The drama continues.
Are we done with that book yet?
You watch your mouth. You watch your mouth. You are not allowed to.
Just saying. Today's Daily Winnie goes out to Biz Stam, who wrote on our Facebook page over the weekend, I wore my new autographed Horse Radio Network hat at the barn yesterday, and before I set out to the arena for my ride, my horse reminded me that he was a spooky nutcase, and I'd be better served with a helmet on my head. So what to do with the hat? And she posted this cute picture of her horse wearing the hat. It was really cute.
Aww.
And I reposted it so everybody could see it. So if you want to see it, go to our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, and you'll see Ms. Sam's horsey wearing our hat. Our hats become very popular. Matter of fact,
I like mine.
Aileen over down at Graceland said, "Can I have one of those hats?" She really liked the hat, so we gave her a hat, and she's now wearing. Now our hat is being worn at Graceland at this very moment.
By the way, before we get to my Daily Winnie, you did a great job with the Graceland interview. You know, to sit there and not be able to talk and to listen, you know, as not
must
quite
have killed
an
you,
Elvis.
First of all.
No. You know, it wasn't that bad because I don't really know much about Elvis or Graceland or anything, nor have I really been a fan. And I was listening so intently. I thought it was such an interesting show. I thought them talking about where all the horses came from and then throwing Priscilla's name in and talking about it, it was just really, really interesting, and you did a great job.
Well, thank you. She is an interesting lady and obviously loves her job. She loves Elvis. You know, she talks about the story of her accosting Elvis when she was young and living. She lived in Memphis, so they used to see Elvis out and around town on his motorcycle and stuff. So, you know, for her to actually then come to work at Graceland, you know, it was a huge thing for her. And, you know, people that are of the age of that I am and older that, you know, used to see Elvis around, it's a big thing. They still talk about, you know, if you met Elvis, it was a big thing. That's a topic of conversation because he was it. You know, we did a very interesting, by the way, I have somebody for another musical episode. I didn't get to tell you about this, but do you have a Daily Winnie first?
I do.
All right.
I get you talking about Elvis, you start just bouncing all over the place. I got to keep you focused. It's a Monday morning. We have things to do, Glenn. But my Daily Winnie goes out to Wendy Ying. If you guys remember, I was talking about the fact that my Basset Hound was having almost like night terrors. She just was getting really angry in the middle of the night and barking and snarling and howling. And it was to the point where, you know, we were thinking of what we should do with her because she just seemed so miserably unhappy and she was just angry all the time. And Wendy called in and told me to make some diet changes. She is a Chinese medicine, it would be veterinarian, I guess.
She's a veterinarian, but she practices traditional Chinese medicine, yes.
Yes, and she told me to make some diet changes, that my dog's yin and yang was unbalanced. And, you know, I'm kind of like a Western medicine kind of person, and I'm like, well, you know what? Heck with it. I'm going to try it. I am not kidding you. I fed my dog for 2 weeks this special diet of, like, I was making ground beef.
Did you cook for your dog?
I certainly did, because it's that or what are we going to do? I mean, we were, like, close to putting her down, Glenn. She was so miserable. And she's got congestive heart failure. By the way, she's 15 years old. She's a Basset Hound. And we were trying to figure out what to do with her. She's just so miserable. 2 weeks of putting her on ground beef, yogurt, applesauce, egg whites, all these, like, different things that are supposed to balance her out. The dog maybe once a day barks out of anger when she's sleeping. It's amazing. So the other thing that Wendy did was Chad just came back in town, and he's like, what did you do to the dog? He's like, whatever you did worked. And it was Wendy telling me all these different Chinese medicine tactics to approach because she's on so much medication for her heart. Anyway, so she sends me the Shen Calmer. That's Shen Calmer. And I haven't tried it yet because I just got it in the mail. However, I do have a question about the dosage because it says give one capsule per 10 pounds of body weight twice daily. That's like 20 pills a day. And they're capsules. They're not like chew treats. So we have to kind of find out exactly if we can get,
well,
like,
Wendy is coming over to my house later this afternoon, so I'll ask her about it.
Okay, please do. I'm like, that's a lot of pills. I don't know how I'm going to get her to, I can barely get her to take her heart medication. So, talk to her about that.
20 capsules. I don't know how you get any. You couldn't get a horse or any animal to take 20 capsules in a day.
I know. My gosh. So,
Well, that's working. I can't believe you stuck with cooking for your dog for 2 weeks. First of all, congratulations for that.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Well, my math is off. That's 10 capsules a day. Sorry. Anyway, but yeah, it really worked. And you know, there's just the things that we do for our pets. You just kind of have to do stuff like that. But I really appreciated Wendy's help. So thank you very much, Wendy. Glenn, tell us a little bit about the follow up of your Memphis weekend, by the way.
Well, we had a great time. We did the show there, and if you haven't heard it, you can go back and listen to it. It was a good show, I thought. Really got into the history of Elvis and his horses, and of course, Aileen is terrific. You know, she's worked there for 30 years, so she knows a little bit about Elvis and his horses, has heard every story from everybody around town. So that was fun, and then we headed out that day. We went to the zoo, and Jennifer, will you please attest to the fact that I did not bitch and whine and complain the whole time at the zoo, that I actually wanted to stay longer than her. Please attest to it.
Well, when I was ready to leave, you claimed you could stay longer.
Oh, yeah, one of those. I'm going to try to get points ahead of
did
time.
Did I whine and complain at all?
You did not whine or complain except when we were in the Creatures of the Night exhibit, and we got to the
like
4.5-inch long cockroaches.
And the 2-foot bats. You know, I'm not so much into cockroaches and bats. But
that
after we got out of there, actually, the Memphis Zoo, I have to give props to the Memphis Zoo. They have a great zoo, and we actually saw some animals that we've never seen in any other zoo, some animals that we've seen for the first time from Africa and stuff. I was impressed with the Memphis Zoo. It's very well laid out. It's we got to see the bear feeding. I was very disappointed with the bear feeding. They feed them cantaloupe. The bears
cantaloupe.
Get cantaloupe. Yeah, they cut up cantaloupes, and they throw them to the bears.
The
brown bears seem to love them.
Throw a pig in there and just have him chase
it
around and murder it?
Yeah, carnage, you know. But apparently the black bears, they like fruit, so they were eating cantaloupe. But then we got to go see the real feeding over at the polar bear exhibit where they throw fish in and then they go. But it's really cool because they make them fish sickles. Did you ever see them eat fish sickles? They actually freeze, they make ice, you know, like pops, like frozen pops, only they stuff fish in the water. So they have to suck on them to get the fish out. It's really cool.
They have to, ew. That's got to be stinky.
Fish pops. Frozen fish pops. But actually, the zoo was a blast. We had fun. Now, as far as the barbecue report, I have to say that we ate barbecue 3 times over the weekend, and Central Barbecue was where we ate, and that's the one that everybody told us to go to. That had pretty good barbecue. Every place else I was very disappointed in. Was not impressed with the barbecue. I think we have a better barbecue place 2 blocks from my house here in Lexington. But, the Central Barbecue
really?
Was pretty good. Yeah, Central Barbecue was pretty good. The rest of the barbecue, not so good. However, what I was starting to say is we took a bus tour that everybody should take. It's called Backbeat Tours. And it's this old 50 school bus. And they take you around for 2 hours around Memphis, showing you the sights and everything. But the guy who led it, and we had done a comedy bus tour back when we were there, so we decided to try this one. He was a great musician, first of all. And he told you all about the history of Memphis, sang a lot of the songs. It was like a sing-along on a bus. But he told us some stories and some things that we never knew about. Elvis's first concert was there in Memphis and at the clamshell-type outdoor thing. And apparently he was almost booed off the stage until about the fourth or fifth song when the audience started getting it. But he had some great stories, and he was a heck of a musician. So after we were done, I said, are you an independent musician? He said, yeah, he has a lot of his own songs. So we're going to get him on for one of our musical episodes. He was terrific, funny, and just good. He was a good entertainer. And it's a good thing because you're trapped on the bus for 2 hours. If he sucked, you would have had a long two-hour ride. But
that would not be a vacation idea for me at all.
No, it was great. It was actually a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. Backbeat Tours.
Okay, now this is the other thing I wanted to mention to you and ask questions about, because we haven't talked. I get this text Saturday afternoon, and it says, heading to the Greyhound races, and they have an adoption center. This could be bad. And I wrote, get one, tell Jen you should do it for the show. You need to get more exercise. And they give you like 100 reasons why you should adopt a Greyhound and bring it home to Lexington. So what happened with that? Do you have a Greyhound?
No. No Greyhound. The adoption center was not open that night. So, but I got to tell you a story about that. So that's the day, that was Friday, that's the day in the morning that we're in Elvis's barn. We do the show. We're all talking about Elvis and living Elvis for the couple of days. And thank you to Raphael for helping put all that together. And he was there and, you know, got to hang out with him. And it was fun to meet him. So that night we go to the races. We find out there's a dog track there. And we go watch the Greyhounds race. The first race, I sit down. And by the way, you know, it's typical casino track. The casino is beautiful. Dog track looks like it hasn't had any work done to it for 1,000 years. So we're sitting down in the old dog. She was sitting there in the old dog track part watching. And I said to Jennifer, okay, she has the program. I said, pick a name in the first race and I'll bet on him. Well, there was one name. What was the name, Jennifer?
I think it was Where's Elvis.
Where's Elvis? And I said, well, that's perfect. I got to go bet on that. So I went and bet on Where's Elvis to win, and he won. Where's Elvis? Yeah, so that was pretty good. And I really didn't bet much the rest of the night. We stayed for 4 or 5 more races and then headed out. But it was fun to watch the hounds go around in circles. Now, they had a policy at their track that none of their hounds get sent away for anything. They all get adopted out. And the track actually funds this adoption agency. It's like Central Indiana Adoption Agency or something. So that gets funded partly by the track, and they built them a building there and everything, so all the dogs get adopted out. They do 100. They adopt out 120 a year there.
Wow, that's pretty good. So how much did you win again? Sorry, I missed it.
$13 on my $2 bet.
Not too bad, my friend. Well done. At least you came out. Well, it depends on how much you spend on hot dogs and Cokes and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So it depends how much we spent in the casino. See, that's all.
Oh, God.
But I didn't really spend anything in the casino. Actually, we walked right through the casino because, you know, I don't like smoking a whole lot. And it was a smoking casino. And boy, oh, boy, it was just awful in there. So we hightailed it through the casino and up to the track.
Gotcha. Not the casino experience with my husband and I, where it's no smoking, and we won a lot of money. So,
no, not so much. You got your husband back, too, this weekend. Did you survive? Did all the dogs live? You didn't kill anything, or?
Okay. Everything survived. You know what? What is up with that, by the way? Because that was his first question. Is everything still alive?
Well, you were pretty upset at the puppies, having to take care of the puppies by yourself there for a while. By the middle of last week.
You know where Boomer is right now. I threw Boomer in bed with him, so that's why it's so quiet in here. Everything lived. Thank you very much. I had my horses. I have my my dogs. And I also, you know, when your man leaves you to go on a fishing trip with his buddies, it's only fair that you do something to make him not want to leave again. And you know, I'm gonna try to type this and then I'm gonna post it. Teaching my husband. Oh, I won't type all that. This is teaching my husband that he is not to leave town again, because this is what happens when your husband leaves town to go fishing. If you will now look on our Horses in the Morning page, on our Facebook page, this is what happens when he's gone.
Did you get another one? You got another chicken?
This is the funniest thing I've ever done to my husband, okay? So Saturday night is when he gets home. It's really dark. And I said, hey, we need to run out and put the chickens away. You know, we put them in their coop. And they usually always go in their coop, but we just have to kind of close the door behind them. So I said, can you go do the chickens? And he's like, I got to check the pool. I'm like, just go do the chickens. So he walks out there and he's like, well, I don't see any chickens anywhere. Are they all in the coop? And I said, I don't know. Look. So he looks down in the coop, and you can see the silhouettes of the chickens as the sun is going down. And he's like, one, two, Why are there six? Why are there six chickens? We're supposed to have five. There's six. Oh, I'm sorry. I laughed so hard. I said, I don't know. I don't know where six came from. There's six? What are you talking about? Mind you, this is a very rare white Americana. They usually come in brown, but I found a white one, and we didn't have a white chicken. So this is what you get for
you didn't have a white chicken?
We didn't have a white one, no. They're all different colors, but no white ones. So we needed a white one. Am I wrong?
No, I thought all chickens were white.
No.
No, we had some non-white ones, too. But mostly you see white chickens.
Yes. So that's what happens when the husband leaves town. And the neighbor confirmed that he said that whenever he would go out of town without his wife, they would come home, and he would come home, and they'd have either a new horse or a new dog. So I said, see, that's what happens. Do not leave again, because next time you go, there's going to be a horse or a dog. No more dogs. So there's going to be another horse in the backyard.
Did he bring any fish home? Did he actually catch any fish the entire week he was in Canada fishing?
He did catch fish, but they did not have enough to ship home. So pretty much what they caught, they ate right there during the lunch or dinner. I guess he said he ate fish pretty much for every meal. So I did not bring anything home, fortunately. The other part was I wanted to let you guys know about my horse. We had the vet inspection on Friday. Both Aubrey Miller, our listener, and I both had the vet coming out this week, and had the vet look at my horse, and he has been given the green light to go ahead and continue the competitions that we have signed up for. So just to let you know, we were given the green light.
Oh, he's okay. There wasn't anything. Nothing wrong?
No, nothing major, just, you know, a 10-year-old former race horse with a little bit of arthritis. But, of course, I panic and freak out and, oh, my God, I need the vet. So that's the case.
Well, cool. That's a good. Well, that's happy news too. So you had all kinds of happy news this weekend. Your hubby came home. You got a new chicken. By the way, does it have a name yet?
Yes. Have I explained to you the way we name our chickens? Do you know the names of any of our other chickens?
No.
Okay. Because we have now currently six laying hens. And when I decided to get chickens, Chad was not super excited about it. So I named our first chicken after his favorite baseball player. To list our chickens, we have Pablo, we have Javier, we have the new one's name is Ron, we have Tim, we have Greg, and we have Ty. So we have Ty Cobb, Tim Lincecum, Pablo Sandoval, Javier Lopez, Ron Gant, and Greg Maddox. Those are our chickens.
So the new one, too?
Strange. Yeah, the new one is Ron Gant.
I assume that's a baseball player, too.
Yes, that was a Braves player back in 1992. Braves player. Awesome, awesome Braves player. So, yes, we name all of our chickens after men. So when I'm calling the girls, I'm like, Javier, Pablo, get over here. Hey, Tim, Greg, stop picking on each other. I'm sure my neighbors think I'm crazy.
Your neighbors must love you. Yeah, that's just what I was thinking. I was thinking, jeez, your poor neighbors. Well, let's make sure we keep getting paid doing this. Let's do our commercial and get to our first guest today. It's about something that you've actually done.
Yeah, well, who hasn't besides you? first of all, we'd like to thank so much Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals for sponsoring our show. Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals create only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health problems products that address many equine health problems. They have dozens of products to help your horses in a number of areas, and I've tried a couple of them, and they really, really work. But they include energy, immunity, muscles, respiratory, and vitamins and minerals. They can help every aspect of your horse. So Omega Alpha brings consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science. They specialize in natural formations for enhancing equine health. Their products are made by Omega Alpha using only the finest natural ingredients available. So you can look for their product at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca.
All right, and I think our first guest is almost ready here. We're going to have another minute. I wanted to ask you, the fires, and half of Arizona is on fire, and it's really mm-hmm. causing problems now, and there's starting to be some displacement of ranches and farms and animals and things. Do you see them from where you are or smell them from where you are?
You know, I am so far south in southern Arizona where Phoenix is, and these – again, Phoenix is surrounded by scrub. There's really nothing to catch on fire, but the northern part of Arizona, a couple hours north, is absolutely beautiful, and that's what's being decimated by the wildfires right now in northeast Arizona, which is, you know, there's mountains and trees, and it's just spectacularly beautiful, and that is what is on fire right now. So, no, I cannot smell the smoke, and I cannot see it from here because that is it's quite a big state, and so that's pretty far away, actually. But there are some things that people are doing to help with the fires, and obviously the American Red Cross, as we were talking about during Horse World Gives Back, is a big part of that as well. So keep the donations coming for the Red Cross and the Equine Disaster Relief Fund, because they're the people that really jump in and help out with all this stuff. So we'll keep you posted, and we're going to talk a little bit later about what a local tax store is doing to help out the fires as well.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, we'll do that in Weekend Roundup a little bit later in the show.
All right. And our first guest is on the line, John McKean. He is the field master for the Miami Valley Hunt in Dayton, Ohio. And what we're talking about today is hunter paces. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you what it is, Glenn. I'm going to go ahead and let John. So first of all, good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jamie. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. Now, I am a huge fan of the hunter pace. I have competed in them, and I have actually organized them because it's a way fun way to use your land. So tell everybody, and Glenn especially, what exactly is a hunter pace?
Well, a hunter pace really is evolved from the fox hunting itself, and really to how to get your horse in shape for the hunt season. And so it's also a great way, a great outlet to really begin to compete against your friends at the hunt. So whether it be yourself or your horse, you need to get them in shape. And there's everything from very slow scenic cruisers speeds to flat out gallop for 6 miles chases.
Yeah, I like those. So what is the point of a hunter pace besides to get, like what are the, if there are, what are the rules?
But there's the rules are basically divided into, usually there's about three, maybe four classes. So the rules are you have to go against a specific predetermined time. So for the scenic cruisers, they call them, it would be roughly about 100 meters a minute, about 3.73 miles per hour. And you start at the start, and you run through the different trails and paths that they have created, and you have to finish at a particular time. And usually there are jumps along the way, anywhere from 10 jumps to 40 jumps, depending on whether you opt out jumping or not. And then for the moderate pace, it's 200 meters a minute, and for the fast pace, it is 300 meters a minute. So this really is a great way to get your horse out there and do what it was meant to do, which is get, you know, run and gallop and do everything that you always thought you wanted to do with your horse out in the woods and out in the fields. And then there is the chase, and the chase is something you better have your horse in really good shape for, because some of these are 6-7 miles flat out gallops through hill and dale with 40 jumps anywhere from a foot to 3.6 feet, and it's a fantastic way to go out there and just go crazy.
So basically, there's a couple different speeds, and you decide that I say, you know what, I'm gonna just kind of hang out and just go, and you can go in groups too, isn't that correct?
Yep, you can go in groups. Usually, you at least have two or three people. You need to have at least one person, typically, that is a member of a hunt club, and then you can go in groups, two, three, four people. Oh, and I forgot to mention one other thing that we have been doing recently is you have the Sina Cruisers, the Moderate, the Fast, the Chase, and there's also a Huntsman's Point-to-Point, which is, and they used to do this, they used to race to the local steeple or church, if you will, and then go back to the beginning. And these are more about finding clues along the way, and it actually was also a way to test your knowledge of the hunting fixture, we call them, which is the hunting property that we hunt on.
Okay, so you've got these different speeds, excuse me, and then, you know, you mentioned a predetermined time, and this is what I find incredibly exciting about the hunter paces is you've got a predetermined time, which means you sign up for the speed that you want to go. If you just want to hang out with your friends and go for a long walk through a beautiful country, then you do that. If you are ready to just giddy up, then you sign up for the chase. But how do you know if you win or not? How do you know how fast you're supposed to go? Explain that.
Well, it's thank you, Jamie. What we do is actually, if you're really serious about this stuff, you will actually go out and practice before the chase or the pace with timing yourself to see how fast actually is 300 meters a minute or 11 miles an hour. And so you will set up your own course, whether it's 2 miles, 3 miles, or 4 miles, and time yourself so you know exactly what the gait is and what the speed of the gait that you would have. The only complication on this is if you miss a jump or you take a wrong turn, and these trails are all marked with little ribbons, but if you do get lost, then you have to recalculate in your own mind and say, oh my gosh, now I've got to do a little bit faster. And so somebody beforehand had actually run the pace and said, okay, for 300 meters, it is, the finish time should be 20 minutes, let's say. And if you came in, let's say 21 minutes, but you were the closest time to that exact time, then you would get first place, whether you are slower or faster. So anybody that comes in, and they basically get thrown up against everybody else. So let's say somebody is 10 minutes slower than everybody else, but they're the closest to the optimum time, then they still win. And we usually give out ribbons to the first five, sometimes seven places. So it's a great time.
Now, without the hunt club aspect of this, this is kind of my experience with them, is say you do have a room for a cross-country course or you have some cross-country jumps set up. This has taken, not just the hunt clubs are doing this. This has taken over several different eventing facilities that I've been to, which includes one down in Georgia. And you basically sign up for your thing, your speed. We didn't get to walk the course ahead of time or meter wheel it or do anything like that. Not that we would have, but you basically had to get going and use slow, medium, or fast kind of pace. You go out and you travel at the appropriate speed for the division you sign up for, or what you think is the appropriate speed. And then you come back and you find out if you win, because they have actually the predetermined time that you're supposed to finish in is in an envelope, and they unveil the time and then they tell you who won at the end of it. Is your hunt anything like that, or is this just a horrible version of the actual appropriate hunt pace?
No, this you're exactly right, Jamie. Somebody goes out and meter wheels it or has a GPS or whatever and says, okay, the optimum time for 300 meters a minute for this 5.6-mile course is 23 minutes. And nobody knows that time. You're not allowed to use on the course a GPS or any cheater things. I mean, basically, you just have to guess on the speed of your horse. And and I know that people that are really serious about competing, even though it's 99.9% just total fun, just to get your horse out there and a good excuse to have a big party afterwards, or to get that friend that you say, hey, my horse is faster than your horse. But go out there and actually train to say, you know, I know within a very close margin of error that this gait on my horse is 300 meters a minute, and that's exactly. My wife and I compete as a team, and we go out and spend a bit of time timing this before the race to just figure out. We know what 300 meters a minute feels like, and then between the two of us, if we can get within a minute to 2 minutes of the optimum speed, that's about as close as you can get dead reckoning to really know what your horse is doing for over a 20 to 30 minute period and being that close.
Yeah, I was going to say that's you're going to really you would really have to have a handle on your horse to do that over that long a period of time.
Yep, Glenn,
I do have the important question for you here. Seeing this was derived from fox hunting, I assume there are flasks and tailgating involved.
Yes, there is. Glenn, it's a big excuse to go out and ride your horse and then have a big party and have great food and great beverages.
There you go. See, now that's what see, you left out the important part at the beginning of this conversation.
Yes.
Jamie is all talking about the serious stuff. Here is the important part of this conversation. You know, we used to do something years ago before I met Jennifer. Called road rallies. We actually did that for a couple of years. And what they used to do there, same concept, only you were in a car. And what they used to do there is you'd have these checkpoints and things, and you'd have to find your way. But they used to tape off your speedometer so you couldn't see it. And it was still optimum time. So it's the same way here, only you don't have to tape off the speedometer. There isn't one.
Yeah, because there is no speedometer.
Yeah.
Exactly right, Glenn. It's there's nothing more fun. And matter of fact, we take pictures. We have a website, Miami or mvhunt.net, and we take pictures of all these paces and chases. And all you see is a bunch of smiles, a bunch of beautiful horses, and a bunch of great food and drink, and everybody having a great time. And no matter whether you're, you know, 10 years old or 70 years old, you're out there with your horse and you're just loving it.
And you know what? That's what I like about it. Is it is the first time that you can go, in my experience, that I can go out on a cross-country course where I am hitting in the start box and I am taking off for a cross-country course and not be nervous. Because if you don't want to jump the jump in front of you, you don't have to. If you want to go around it, great. If you want to slow down, if you want to speed up, you cannot decide that you're going to win. Because you don't know if you're going to win or not, especially after that long of a course. But we did have a really fun one. There's Ashland Farms down in Georgia that does the most fantastic hunter pace, and they do it during Halloween. So obviously every single person has to wear a Halloween costume, and you do teams. And so my girlfriends and I, we went on eBay and bought a bunch of old jockey silk. And we all dressed up as jockeys with the silks on, the goggles, we made helmet covers to match, and we all took off from the starting box looking like racehorses about to hit the track. And we had the best time. We won best costume, best team costume. It was just an absolute blast. You can do with a 100 pace what you will. There's no exact rules. I mean, obviously each hunt club has their own rules, but this isn't even associated with a hunt club, just a way to get out there in the sun and enjoy your horses. And I think it is a very fun way to do it. Glenn, you could even do it because you could just walk around the jumps. You don't have to jump anything, and you could do the granddad course.
Thank you, Jamie.
It was great. We had the same thing with a Halloween, and I think the last time we dressed up as SpongeBob's, even there was a lot of air resistance on that costume. But
yeah, I was going to say they're not aerodynamic, SpongeBob. Not so much.
Yeah. But it,
like
it,
a
it was
kite
great.
On the back of a horse.
But I've got to say, Jamie, I mean, some of these paces are really fine eventing courses. We had Rocky Fork is one of the hunt clubs that we partner with, and they put together courses that are actually designed by an events designer, and they're amazing. I mean, water jumps, just fantastic laid out courses that are very competitive, and I used to compete in 3D eventing, and some of these courses are very close to some of the actual very competitive events that I've been to. So,
now, what is your website for your hunt, or where can people find out more information?
Yeah, it's mvhunt.net, and then if they want to see all the pictures, there's a special photo section, and under summer we have all of the pace pictures out there, and we actually are starting to do high definition helmet cams, so you can actually be actually on a horse going through some of the paces and chases at full speed, and because it's wide angle you actually feel like you're on a horse, and it's just an amazing experience to me.
HD helmet cams. What will they think of next?
I am looking, actually, John, at your picture on your website here. So you're a first flight master, but that doesn't mean you have a red coat.
Yes. What the red coat signifies, Glenn, is that you
They can find you easier when you fall off in the woods?
Find you easier. Exactly. That's the first reason. Really, it's to signify that you've reached a level of hunting knowledge. So it's not necessarily that you're a field master, but you have your staff, and you've reached a certain level of hunt knowledge. So,
I'm looking at some of the members of your hunt here. You have quite an eclectic group.
Yes, very eclectic. The woman who
I was looking
is,
for the right word there, John. I was really stretching for the right word. Eclectic, I think, kind of fits it, actually.
Yeah, it did perfectly, Glenn. Actually, matter of fact, Phyllis Heck, who is one of the top left there, she has been a master. I think it's just about coming on 40 years. So I think she's one of the oldest, longest-standing field masters in the country. Just an incredible lady.
Well, I was looking down through the list here, too, and I especially like, and I'm not quite sure how this one came, I lost it. Charlie, down the list there. Charlie looks a little like something you should be hunting, actually.
Yeah, yes. Glenn, Charlie is a nickname that we refer to the fox as Charlie, so that's kind of a endearing.
Yeah, it's actually a picture of a fox, and it sort of caught me as I was looking down through the pictures of the members. That there was so Charlie is a nickname for every fox you hunt, basically. If you see a fox,
yes.
It's Charlie.
Yes, Glenn.
Well, that saves having to come up with a new name each time.
Yeah, there's several Charlies. If you scroll down, there's Charlie dressed up in a red coat and a hat and everything. So.
Oh yeah.
But really, what you know, Glenn, you're looking at these pictures. It's just a bunch of people who love horses, love dogs, and just love to be out in the country.
Actually, Jennifer was the worked as the stable manager up at Myopia Hunt for a couple of years. So we got to go out and watch hunts. She got to go hunting 3 times a week, but I used to love going out and watching the hunts. And that, up in New England, that's a big deal. They, you know, Thanksgiving hunt, they would get thousands of spectators would drive out to the country to watch the hunt on Thanksgiving Day.
Absolutely, Glenn. Matter of fact, every year there's what's called the Blessing of the Hounds.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's just a pageantry of everybody is decked out, fully braided horses. The hounds get blessed, and it's just a magical experience. And as a matter of fact, I know the Myopia Hunt Club, and they're a great hunt club.
It was pretty hunt country, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Nope. And that's one of the things that we're challenged with, too, is constantly looking for new hunt country because of development and things like that. But we're pretty blessed here in Ohio to have some great fixtures.
Well, there you go,
well,
Jennifer.
John,
take a ride up. to Ohio.
Yeah, you guys will have to go check it out. Check it out. And, John, again, what is your website again?
It's mvhunt.net.
mvhunt.net. And you can check out Hunter Pace's. You can learn more on that website, obviously, and just Google Hunter Pace. It's the kind of, not that there's a huge list of rules, but you can at least get details about it.
It's great fun, Jennifer.
Yeah, it is. John, thank you so much for being a part of the show, and we will talk to you again. Hopefully we'll talk to you again when the Blessing of the Hounds comes around. Get some pictures.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Thanks, Glenn and Jamie.
All right, thanks. Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
All right. I'm sure Jennifer's over there drooling because she's dying to go hunting again.
I love it.
Can't wait to start hunting. Well, our song today is brought to you by Pocket Stable, and they have a brand – Pocket Stable is the only iPhone app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all their information, including vaccines and wormings and farrier and dentist visits, together and easily accessible. And you can also track the weight of your horse and get reminders of important events. Like we had the dentist out over the weekend, and Beaker had to have two teeth pulled. And actually,
oh,
had
no.
wolf teeth. He's 15, still has the wolf teeth. So
what?
He had to have. Yeah, he had to have his wolf teeth out, so they did that while the dentist was there. So you can do vaccines and wormings and farrier visits and track all of that, and you can do that in the App Store at Pocket Stable, and you can visit or find them on the iPhone right in the App Store, or visit them on their website at pocketstable.com. So now I'll put that in my little – see, I can do it on my iPod Touch. They don't have it for the Droid yet, and I hope that's coming out soon because it would be very nice to have it. But now I put it on my iPod Touch, and that's where I can keep track of it. It's only $3.99, less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks. It's almost less – we bought a bottle of water at Starbucks in Memphis over the weekend, and it's almost less than a bottle of water at Starbucks, actually. But today's song, I got to thinking because at our barn over the weekend, and darn, we missed it. I was so upset that we missed the 600 bales of hay that needed to be stacked in the barn. But that kind of reminded me that it's haying time around, and that reminded me of Marianne Kennedy's song. So we'll be right back with the weekend roundup and the reading of Black Beauty.
So far from winter, the grass is green. Hard to imagine that we will need to feed the horses so slick and round. But they're gonna need it when snow's on the ground. Haying time, haying time. Making hay while the sun shines. Sweating bullets, I swear it's 99. Calling all your favors, cause it's haying time. Call up your family, call all your friends, and we'll drink a cold one when the day ends. And when we and know we earned that ale. Haying time, haying time. Making hay while the sun shines. Sweating bullets, I swear it's 99. Calling all your favors, cause it's haying time. If you are a farmer, you know it won't make you rich. It's hard work, that's no lie. But the satisfaction at the end of days like this, no amount of money can buy. Hey. making hay while the sun shines. Sweating bullets, I swear it's 99. Call up all the neighbors, the givers and the takers. Call in all your favors, cause it's haying time.
That is Marianne Kennedy, Hay in Time. I, by the way, Glenn, we had talked about it. My bales of hay are 100 pounds apiece, 90 to 100 pounds, and I can't get a whole lot at once. I only just go up the street and get 4 or 5 bales at a time. Well, I got 6 bales when my husband was out of town, and I brought them home. I unloaded them from my truck to the pallets, stacked them ever so neatly, 6 bales, 100 pounds apiece. I did it all by myself.
They're Thank bigger you than much. You.
It was not pretty, I'm not going to lie.
You must have been hugging them. How else did you lift them? You're talking 100-pound bales. You weigh 100 pounds.
They stacked them in the truck for me. And then what happened was I just basically backed my truck right up to the pallets, and I just got behind them and shoved them. So I had, like, 2 feet on the back window of the truck and 2 hands just shoving forward, you know, like pressing forward. And I would knock them off and then shove them into place, and then knock them off and then shove them into place. So,
hook them up to Jet and just have them pull them around for you.
Yeah, my thoroughbred would be in the next county by then. Well, let's stop stalling, Glenn.
He'd be eating on the job, one or the other.
Yeah, one of those. Hey, by the way, thank you so much to Omega Alpha for sponsoring today's show. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. I'm Jamie Jennings along with Glenn, and let's stop stalling, Glenn. It is that time again. For those of you who are just joining us, Glenn and his wife Jennifer, it's Monday, I should explain this, the whole thing. They have not ever read the book Black Beauty. So I've decided...
Nor did we want to. Let me qualify that. Nor did we want to.
Through the help of our listeners, they voted in the fact that we would be doing a Black Beauty reading. I am reading one chapter a day, and this is kind of a long chapter, but you know what? We have plenty of time. How about that? Ha-ha! If the music runs out, I'm just going to keep going. It is that kind of day. And then coming up, the weekend roundup. So go ahead, hit it.
Is it? We got to give an alert here. Is there a carnage alert today?
No carnage alert.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Let me just find the thing and play it then.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Thank you, Nigel. Chapter 7, Ginger. One day when Ginger and I were standing alone in the shade, we had a great deal of talk. She wanted to know all about my bringing up and breaking in, and I told her. Well, said she, if I would have had your bringing up, I might have been as of good temper as you are. But now I don't believe I ever shall. Why not, I said. Because it has all been so different with me, she replied. I've never had any one, horse or man, that was kind to me or that I cared to please, for in the first place I was taken from my mother as soon as I was weaned and put with a lot of other young colts. None of them cared for me, and I cared for none of them. The man that had to take care of us never gave us me a kind word in my life. I do not mean that he was ill-used me, but he did not care for us one bit further than to see that we had plenty to eat and a shelter in the winter. A footpath ran across our field, and very often the great boys passing through would fling stones to make us gallop. I was never hit, but one fine young colt was badly cut in the face, and I should think it would be a scar for life. We did not care for them, but of course it made us more wild, and we settled it in our minds that boys were our enemies. We had very good fun in the free meadows, galloping up and down, chasing each other round and round the field, then standing still under the shade of trees. But when it came to breaking in, that was a bad time for me. Several men came to catch me, and when they at last closed in on me in one corner of the field, one caught me by the forelock, another caught me by the nose, and held it so tight I could hardly draw my breath. Then another took my under jaw in his hard hand and wrenched my mouth open, and so by force They got on a halter and the bar into my mouth, and then one dragging me along by the halter, another flogging me from behind. This was the first experience I had of men's kindness. It was all force. They did not give me a chance to know what they wanted. I was high bred and had a great deal of spirit and was very wild, no doubt, and gave them, I dare say, plenty of trouble. But then it was dreadful to be shut up in a stall day after day instead of having my liberty, and I fretted and pined and wanted to get loose. You know yourself, it's bad enough when you have the kind master and plenty of coaxing, but there's nothing of that sort for me. There was one, the old master, Mr. Ryder, who I think could have soon brought me around and could have done anything with me, but he had given up on all the hard part of the trade to his son and to another experienced man, and he only came at times to oversee. His son was a strong, tall, bold man. They called him Samson, and he used to boast that he had never found a horse that could throw him. There was no gentleness in him as there was in his father, only hardness, a hard voice, a hard eye, a hard hand, and I felt from the first that what he wanted me to wear was all the spirit out of me, just to make me into a quiet, humble, obedient piece of horse flesh. Horse flesh, yes, that is all he thought about, and Ginger stamped her foot as if the very thought of him made her angry. She went on, if I did not do exactly what he wanted, he would get put out and make me run around with that long rein in the training field till he had me tired out. I think he drank a good deal, and I'm quite sure that the oftener he drank, the worse it was for me. Shut up. One day he had worked me hard in every way he could, and when I laid down, I was tired and miserable and angry. It all seemed so hard. Then the next morning he came for me early, ran me round again for a long time. I had scarcely an hour's rest, and when he came again for me with a saddle and bridle and a new kind of bit, I could never quite tell how it came about. He had only just mounted me on the training ground when something I did put him out of temper, and he chucked me hard with the rein. The new bit was very painful, and I reared up suddenly, which angered him still more, and began to whip me. I felt my whole spirit set against him, and I began to kick and plunge and rear as I've never done before. We had a regular fight, and for a long time he stuck to the saddle and punished me cruelly with his whip and spurs, but my blood was thoroughly up, and I cared for nothing if I could only get him off. At last, after a terrible struggle, I threw him off backwards. I heard him fall heavily onto the turf, and without looking behind me, I galloped off to the other end of the field. There I turned round and saw my persecutor slowly rising from the ground and going into the stable. I stood under an oak tree and watched, but nobody came to catch me. The time went on, the sun was very hot, the flies swarmed around me, settled on my bleeding flanks where the spurs had dug in. I felt hungry, for I had not eaten since the morning, but there was not enough grass in the meadow for a goose to live on. I wanted to lie down and rest, but with the saddle strapped tightly on, there was no comfort, and there was not a drop of water to drink. The afternoon wore on, the sun got low. I saw the other colts let in, and I knew they were having a good feed. At last, just as the sun went down, I saw the old master come out with a sieve in his hand. He was a very fine old gentleman with quite white hair, but his voice was not what I should know him by amongst a thousand. It was not high, not low, but full, clear, and kind. And when he gave orders, it was so steady and decided that everyone knew, both horses and men, that he expected to be obeyed. He came quietly along, now and then shaking the oats about that he had in the sieve, and speaking cheerfully and gently to me. Come along, lassie, come along, come along, lassie, come along. I stood still and let him come up. He held the oats to me, and I began to eat without fear. His voice took all my fear away. He stood by, patting and stroking me while I was eating, and seeing the clots of blood at my side, he seemed very vexed. Poor lassie, it was a bad business, a bad business. And then he quietly took the rein and led me to the stable. Just at the door stood Samson. I laid my ears back and snapped at him. Stand back, said the master, and keep out of her way. You've done a bad day's work for this filly. He growled out something about being a vicious brute. Hark ye, said the father, bad-tempered man will never make a good-tempered horse. You've not learned your trade yet, Samson. Then he led me into my box, took off the saddle and bridle with his own hands, tied me up, and then called for a pail of warm water and a sponge. He took off his coat, and while the stableman held the pail, he sponged my sides good while so tenderly I was sure he knew how sore and bruised they were. Well, my pretty one, he said, stand still, stand still. His voice did me very good, and the bathing was very comfortable. The skin was so broken at the corners of my mouth that I could not eat the hay. The stalks hurt me. He looked closely at it, shook his head, and told the man to fetch a good bran mash and put some meal into it. How good that mash was, soft and healing to my mouth. He stood by me all the time as I was eating, stroking me and talking to the man. If a high-mettled creature like this can't be broken by fair means, she'll never be good for anything. And that he came often to see me. And when my mouth was healed, the other breaker, Job, they called him, went on training me. He was steady and thoughtful, and I soon learned what he wanted. That was chapter 7, Ginger.
Jeez.
Isn't this educational?
Wait a minute. Go ahead. I don't know why I keep forgetting that every day.
I clap for myself. So this is what it's all about. Is you're learning about it from the horse's perspective. I'm telling you, I go to put the bit in my horse's mouth, and I'm like, gently, don't hit the teeth. They hate that. I'm telling you. It's like I hear Ginger's voice in my head.
Thank you, Jamie, for the daily reading of Black Beauty, because I know there is at least one person out there enjoying it. Because we hear from them every day.
Yes, there is at least one person. There may be a body count in the next room. I'm not quite sure. It's coming up.
All right, coming up. All right, pay attention. Yeah, new body count coming up.
It's time for the weekend roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
Well, this is a time when we get together every week and we go over the news stories that have been piling up from the weekend, and, you know, some funny, some not so funny, and we're going to start off with a pretty serious one. This is a tack shop that's out your way in Phoenix, Arizona. Tack Etc. is actually doing a drive. They need stuff and equipment and things for the people who have been displaced by the fires that you're having there in Arizona. Have you been to this tack shop, Tack Etc.?
Yeah, this is the tack shop in town. I mean, this is the place you go to get anything English or Western, and they have some very nice stuff. This is a place that I bought my new bridal in December. This is the place that has the good stuff. So what they need, actually, is, you know, go over the list of what they need, because it's, you know, sometimes it's things you wouldn't even think of. You need for a fire. You think, you're just going to evacuate, throw all your stuff in your car and drive away and you're fine, but there's stuff that people don't have.
Yeah, and it sounds like this is what they said. They've been talking to representatives from the Arizona Humane Society and the Arizona Livestock Agent who are on site. There are many needs for displaced animals. So the majority of the large animals, horses, cattle, sheep, goats, pigs, and emus, are at the Apache County Fairgrounds near St. John, so they're all out of fairgrounds, it sounds now. But what they need are blankets and towels for dog and cat cages, disposable cage bedding like puppy pads. They need Clorox wipes, paper towels, gallons of disinfectant, cat food, dog food, cat litter. So it sounds like mostly they're having a bigger problem with the small animals than the big animals at this point. So if you can help with that, they're taking drop-offs at TAC, et cetera. You can just drop things off there, or I'm sure you can buy them there and donate them as well. So it sounds like there's a lot of displaced animals in Arizona right now. Boy, I don't know that we've had a natural disaster that we've missed here in the United States. It's just been one after another. Half of Florida is burning, too. Down towards the south of Florida is on fire as well. So that's Attack, et cetera. And actually, their website, you can Google it. I don't have it right here, but there you can just Google Attack, et cetera.
Yeah, and they did actually they have an annual Christmas party every year. And just to show you the kind of people they are, at Christmas time, to basically get into the tack store, and you didn't have to, but it was highly suggested, they were taking donations then for dogs and cat animal rescues. So they're definitely the first people to jump in and help out. So that's TAC, et cetera, and you just Google TAC ETC. I can't remember the website either. So there's that. And now the complete other end of the spectrum is not people in need, people that are spending a ridiculous amount of money. I mean, ridiculous, Glenn. Totilis, obviously. How do you say it? I always say it wrong.
I always say totalist, but I think I'm saying it wrong, too. I hear it every totalist, different way.
Totalist.
We should probably listen to how Chris says it, and that's how it should be said.
Yeah. Totalist. Colt Fetches, check this out. They, you know, obviously, he's bred a couple mares this year, and they had a colt by him, and they sold him at an auction in Germany. He's 2 months old. In American dollars, this two-month-old black colt by Totilus sold for $153,500. $153,000 for a two-month-old colt. So congratulations to the sellers, congratulations to the buyers, I guess, and to, Totilus's people, because that is, what was it like to, the stud fee is like $8,000, I think we decided.
No, that's pretty good profit on that, baby.
I'm thinking of getting a mare. I mean,
You have no guarantee this baby's going to grow up to do anything. I mean, but that, I guess that's the chance you take, right?
How many people pay that kind of money without thinking for racehorses too? And that's
that's true.
More of a gamble. So, well, anyway, if you want to get into the breeding, start breeding your horses, your mares to Totilus, and you'll make some extra cash. The next horse, like the second highest selling, was like $30,000. I'm sorry, 50,000 euros was for a 4-year-old is what that went for. So 50,000 pounds, is that euros or pounds? I can't tell.
Yeah, that's about $1 million.
Nowhere near as much as a 2-month-old colt.
Hey, speaking of racing, China has lifted their 60-year ban on horse racing. I didn't realize that, because I knew they've been racing in Hong Kong, but Hong Kong, remember, until a few years ago was part of a British colony. So it was only turned over to China, I forget what year, but so they haven't had sanctioned racing in China for 60 years after the 1949 revolution. They stopped anything that would sound like luxury or decadence. They just cut it out. But now luxury and decadence are getting to be okay again. So they're starting racing in the Wuhan, I don't know, in that province here. At some point, they're starting racing, and they're gonna allow. Let me see here. It says there'll be 12 horses will be entered in 4-6 races. So they were lining those up, and racing will begin. However, you cannot bet to win money. If you win, you can bet, but you'll win small prizes. I'm not sure what that is.
Oh, really? But, you want to win money? You pay your money, and then you get, choose from this row if you bet $2.
Just like at the fair, you can pick whatever size stuffed animal fits. That's right.
Gotcha.
So, And isn't that where they make all of those stuffed animals from the fair? So.
You win race two. You pick the winner, and he's a long shot. So you get the 4-foot-tall stuffed gorilla.
Oh, sorry. You picked a favorite. You get a pencil eraser.
Sorry.
Hey,
God
and,
loves these governments.
Hey, speaking of racing and sports, I'm very proud to say that the announcement came out over the weekend. Now, we all know the Olympics are coming up in London in 2012, and they're all getting ready for that. But to show you how important horses and horse sports are in England, they did a lottery, actually, to get to figure out who got tickets to the different events. And so far, there are 5 sellouts, events that you just can't get into anymore. And those are track cycling, rhythmic gymnastics, triathlon, modern pentathlon, and equestrian cross country. So cross country day is now sold out. We're 1 of 5, the first 5 sold out. But that just goes to show you too how popular horse sports are in England. That is one of the ones that have sold out.
Good point. I remember trying to get to the equestrian in Atlanta in 1996, and the traffic was so bad around there, and it was so congested that by the time we went to the show jumping finals, and it was halfway over by the time we actually finally got in. That just goes to show you that they were not anticipating the amount of people that were going to come out for the equestrian sports in Georgia. So you gotta love Europe, you know, and their support. London, England, their support of the equestrian sports is phenomenal.
speaking of England, I just got a press release yesterday from Debbie, Monty Roberts' daughter, and Monty has been bestowed quite an honor by the Queen. And for those of you that don't know, Monty works with a lot of the Queen's horses and has for years. She loves Monty's teaching methods and how he does things with the join-up. And he has just been made an honorary member of the Royal Victoria Order, or MVO. And that the Royal Victoria Order is given by the Queen to people who have served her for the monarchy in a personal way. It's bestowed independently of the government. So this is a personal honor that the Queen gives out to people that have helped her. And she is quite a fan of Monty Roberts. And the Queen Mother also once reportedly was reduced to tears after Roberts managed to tame one of her wildest horses. That's the Queen's mother, who I don't think is with us anymore. So Monty got quite an honor over the weekend from England, from the Queen.
Wow. Now, do you go, like, did Monty go to that and get, like, you know, the sword on the shoulder kind of thing? Or is it just they
didn't
call him
really
and they're like, hey, dude, you got an honor?
Well, apparently he does talk to the palace quite often because he's still working with the horses over there. Every time he goes to England, he stops by for a day or two and works with some of the babies and new horses. So. And the Queen is there many times, and he apparently is on a first name speaking terms with the Queen. She will call him if she has a problem with one of the horses and talk to him personally. Debbie said it's interesting when you get a call from Buckingham Palace. So
he's old for the Queen. Yes,
yeah.
Okay, sure.
How cool is that? And, you know, I wonder if he hung up the first time, too. Remember that story we had? I wonder if he hung up the first time, too, when the Queen called. Yeah, sure, fine.
I mean, oh yeah, whatever.
Chris is playing a joke again.
I do love Monty Roberts. I mean, what a cool guy, you know. And I think it was him that said recently that there's no such thing as whispering to a horse; it's them yelling at you, or something like that. It was a really clever quote that was talking about the horse whispering, because that kind of gives you the impression that people lean in and they whisper into the horse's ears. But that's not the part of it. It's body language, and that's how he communicates with them, and he's a fantastic guy. Please, go ahead.
Well, I want to tell you about another one, too, has been a guest of ours on the Stable Scoop Show, who's making it big in articles all over the world, and that is Sammy Jo Stoller. She's out of Texas, and she's sort of like the zebra whisperer. She is the zebra guru, and we've had her on the shows a couple times. She trains zebras and zorses and zonkies, and she has her animals have become very popular for commercials and for TV shows and for movies, and now she's taught one of them to do a jumping course. So one of the zebras, and she apparently is becoming quite popular for this show jumping zebra. And Zach is the show jumping zebra that she has. So she there was actually an article in England I saw about her, of all things. And she's a sweet girl. She does a great job with these animals. And there are some great pictures on her website. And I'm trying to see if I can figure out what the website is for everybody. Let me go look here quick. It's zebraguru.com. So just go to zebraguru.com, and you'll find all about Sammy Jo. And we'll get her on the morning show here some morning. She's fun to talk to, and she does a great job training these wild animals and getting them to do all kinds of things. She drives Zach, too. She also drives him around, and I think Zach is the one that has been in a couple of the commercials recently that she's done.
Post a picture of him jumping. I mean, it's actually way cute. I mean, he's a kind of a cute jumper. Where we saw the cow that would jump the fence would actually just kind of mostly crash through it, which is kind of, yeah, because the cow kind of crashed through it. This zebra actually picked its knees up. It could be a little hunter zebra.
Yeah, look how cute his little hooves are.
I know. He's adorable.
Cute.
Yeah,
and he's plenty of mane to hold on to, apparently, and it sticks straight up, so it makes for a good handle.
Yeah, you just grab hold. You don't have to work too hard for that one at all. So, yeah, definitely cute. We need to get her on the show. I think it's cool. And, hey, by the way, there was a horse versus man race. Did you hear about this?
No.
I didn't know it was coming up. But, however, there are 300 solo runners and 50 horse and rider combinations that take part in a relay race. It's a 22-mile race, okay? There's a relay race that goes on separate from this with 111 teams, but it's a man versus horse race, okay? It's been going on since, I think the early 80s, and the whole race idea was started from two guys. And this is, again, in the Welsh countryside, okay? Two guys sitting at a pub, drinking Guinness, trying to decide who's faster, horses or man. So, of course, what does drinking do? They decide to have a race. Now it's become this annual race, been going on for 30-something years. And a horse won it this year. Again, shocker. The horses won.
Was there any doubt a horse was going to beat a man in a race?
I'm not going to – check this out. There has been a man that has won this race twice in the entire 30-something years that this has been going on. Just twice.
Did the horses get lost?
In 2004, a guy won it by 2 minutes, and a guy won it in 2007. But this year, a horse won it, and then the horse won it in 2 hours and 8 minutes and 37 seconds, 22 miles, okay? And then Charlie Pearson came in 17 minutes later, and then the first woman to come across the finish line was 2 hours, 46 minutes, and 41 seconds. They win a prize and 1,000 guineas. I'm assuming that is some sort of money.
I don't think it's hens. I don't think they win 1,000 chickens.
1,000 chickens. You win 1,000. That would be a great prize for a race in the Welsh countryside.
Do you think there's lot of drinking involved with this?
Oh, Lord. Except for the people running. I think there's drinking and gambling on what horse is going to win and what human's going to win. Oh, what a great, great event that would be to go watch. Oh, great. Well, congrats to the horses.
Yes, but apparently the horses win. And I assume they had riders, or were they just...
Yeah, they have riders.
Okay, just checking. Speaking of horses and riders, boy, what is it with these cross-country riders now? We've had more stories now about people hopping on their horses and deciding to ride across the United States. Well, there's a couple more. Two men, three horses, 3,300 miles. And it's Luke Nolan and his friend Tyler Smith are riding. They started this group started from the East Coast. They have three horses. They're riding across the United States and 3,300 miles, East Coast to the West Coast. They're planning on riding 25 to 30 miles a day. Good luck with that. As we learned from the others that ride across the country, that's always a good goal to start with. 6 days a week and staying at people's houses. They're doing it much the way as the last one we followed did. Kathleen, but the one guy, get this, the one guy's only been riding for 3 months. So,
what?
Yeah, good luck with that.
He's going to learn quick.
I guess, you know, you're sitting in the saddle for 25, 30 miles a day, you learn to ride.
Okay.
Yeah, so they, and the other one, the third horse is a pack horse carrying 100 pounds. I think Kathleen, if she had it to do over again, she was the one that we followed on Stable Scoop last year that rode cross country. If she had it to do over again, she would have done her horses differently and had more horses to rely on, to switch off with. So she could have, because the one thing that a lot of people people worry about is their feet getting injured. But the real problem she had was saddle sores. That is the problem that she had going across the country. With saddle sores.
Really?
That's the thing she fought with the most, was saddle sores. Did you think you're on the horse?
Not too long ago I believe his name is Chris, and he's doing the Horse Ride for Heroes. You can find that on Facebook at Horse Ride for Heroes. And he's doing all of it to raise money for childhood cancer. So he's actually got a cause. It's Cowboy Chris. We need to catch up with him again, too, because we talked to him. He's traveling with three other horses. It's him and three horses, and they're just going along, and he's Facebooking the entire way. It's kind of interesting, so we'll have to get him back on, too. But why are these guys, why did they decide to do it, Glenn?
Just for the fun of it, it doesn't look like there's any particular reason and no cause.
They said, we're hoping we can identify with the people and meet Americans where Americans are. Wow, that's deep.
My guess is after about the first or second week, it won't be as deep a reason.
Yeah.
It'll be more like, my butt really hurts. Did you see on Facebook, people are starting to comment on the picture of your new chicken? And
no.
Madeline says, I love bad hair chickens. And Anne says, that chicken has a beard. For Christmas, put a little Santa hat and take a picture, please.
Oh, how cute would that be? Oh, my gosh.
Your chicken, new chicken, does kind of have bad hair. It kind of sticks up everywhere.
It's kind of pokey, but at least I didn't show you the part. Keeping a white chicken white when they take dust baths all the time is not easy. So we just took the straight-on shot, so you didn't see the body because it was pretty ugly. Very dirty.
Hey, are you participating in the world's biggest riding lesson?
You know, I just heard about that this morning, so tell everybody what that is, and let's decide if we should do it.
All right. The Riding for the Disabled Association is organizing the world's biggest riding lesson on September the 28th at riding centers around the country. The RDA hopes to attract 10,000 riders, drivers, and vaulters, all of whom will be sponsored to raise money for the charity. Participants will begin their lesson with the same four-minute walk routine before continuing the lesson at their normal standard. So it sounds like you go to a place that is hosting these lessons, and you actually take a lesson, but everybody does it at the same time. Is that what I'm getting out of this?
I believe so. I don't know. You can find more at worldsbiggestridinglesson.com. And again, it all benefits the Riding for Disabled Association, RDA, who's organizing it. So, interesting.
Maybe we can get somebody
on
to talk about it.
Yeah, it's somebody from the Horse and Hound. So we'll have to talk to somebody from the Horse and Hound as well. They're the ones who published this story. So obviously it's taking place overseas, but maybe we could bring it here to the U.S.
Yeah, I'm on their website. You might want to check out the website and see. I like this. Put the fun into fundraising. That's pretty good.
I think it was put the fun in dysfunctional. That's all I can think of.
I think. Do I have any other stories? Oh, one other thing. Regular co-host on the Jumping Radio Show, Georgina Bloomberg, who is Mayor Bloomberg of New York City's daughter, is also a big jumper in the jumper world. Is going to be taking a little time off because apparently when she had her fall there, she had a really bad fall a while back, and she bonked her noggin, and her helmet saved her there. But she also had some spine issues, and she has to go in for surgery. So she just put out a new book called The A Circuit. She wrote a new book and is publicizing that. But she announced on NBC's Today Show Thursday morning that she's going to be going in for surgery and taking a couple of months off to recover over the summer here after her surgery. So she's going to be out of the game for a little bit. And she actually does, on a fairly regular basis, co-host the Jumping Radio Show with Chris here on the Horse Radio Network. Nice kid. And we haven't got the book yet, so we'll have to check that out too. It's called The A Circuit, and guess what it's about?
I would imagine it's about the A Circuit.
Yes, exactly. About the jumping A Circuit. She knows a lot about growing up as a kid in the jumping A Circuit. So that's what the book is about. I think that's it for our news story, isn't it?
I think that is, too. So, again, thank you guys all so much for listening to the Weekend Roundup. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Facebook, we are Horses in the Morning. Also on Twitter at Horse Radio.
And don't forget that all of the shows at horseradionetwork.com are out, and I wanted to remind everybody, if you didn't hear Friday's special Elvis show, you can hear that over at horsesinthemorning.com. And also,
is the Horses World Gives Back show posted yet?
Yes, it is, and I wanted to mention that. It's at horseworldgivesback.com, and I also put it out on the feed for Horses in the Morning. So you can find it at horseworldgivesback.com, the recorded episode from our fundraiser last Monday night, and which was well worth listening to. Have your tissues ready, but it was definitely worth listening to some of the amazing stories of some very brave people who came on the air with us. Jennifer actually said she wants to go back and listen to it today because she was taking mm-hmm. calls and getting the guests lined up. She missed a good part of it. So you do want to go take a listen to that. We're going to get some numbers for everybody here shortly. We should have some numbers from the retail day coming in. The money's still being collected. That's why we don't have numbers yet. But it's definitely in the thousands of dollars that we raised that night. We appreciate everybody helping out there, too. And we know that Horses in the Morning listeners were a big part of that. And we appreciate you supporting it and being part. We love our Horses in the Morning listeners. We have the best listeners in the world. So when you go out and ride today, protect your heads. We love you guys. Wear a helmet. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Bye.